Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Blessings to all. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. And they can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Our guest tonight is Admir Serrano. And if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, what's new with you today?
Well, not a lot with me, but I understand about an hour ago you were telling me that there was something new with you, and I know we normally don't talk about personal things that happen, but this one may be something that you wanted to share because I thought it was a little intriguing.
It was very intriguing. I had the opportunity of being interviewed for a future magazine article, and the I don't know how much to disclose at this point, so I'll be a little vague, but the journalist who conducted the interview, very, very professional journalist, went back and did all of her research on the internet following the interview, and then called me with some really interesting news. She went to one of our websites to copy and paste some of the dialogue on the page into a document that she would then use when she was working on the article. And when she copied and pasted it into her document, it was fine. She decided to print it out. However, when she printed it, it didn't print what was on the screen. It printed a whole page of what looks to be a message from the other side that just says, mom, 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 and all these cryptic MOMs all over the page. And she was absolutely sure, her psychic sense told her that this was not meant for her, but for me, and that it was a message from Bailey, our daughter, kind of like a thumbs up, like, this is really good stuff, Mom. Keep it going.
Yeah, well, you didn't mention that the website was a website that you had set up for our daughter after she died. So that was even more intriguing. Of course, I tried to replicate it, as I normally would do, to see, well, maybe sometimes if you cut and paste from a website, things get a little screwed up.
Really, yeah.
So we went on the website, we identified the same section, cut and pasted it, and printed it. And
put it in a document.
Word document, and it came out exactly the way it should be.
The way it should have come out,
yeah,
right.
So that was a little bit intriguing. So you think you got a hello today, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so cool. And I think this also brings us into the conversation of why mainstream science refuses to recognize the mounds and mounds of data of all these experiences and signs is because they can't be replicated. That's why they're a sign. If you could replicate them at will, then something's wrong with the system.
Right. And then, well, you know, science can play a role in ruling out the physical explanations, you know. And once the problem is once they rule out the physical explanations, then they just throw their hands up and they say, well, it's just an anomaly and I can't explain it.
But right. Like diseases.
Couldn't have happened.
Diseases that doctors can't explain. Is that we just, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, so many people have experiences like this. And we noticed that, like, last night we had our New York afterlife discussion group. And every time we have one of these groups, I'm always amazed as people open up about experiences that they've had.
Mounds and mounds.
It's just, it really is incredible, and so many people don't readily discuss this with their peers and friends and family. But in this environment that we're in, which is safe and everybody's, you know, sharing to a certain extent, it's okay. And some of the accounts are just so incredible.
They're incredible and they're wonderful. And yet each, almost every person shared the same frustration, is that I have nobody to talk to about this. I tried telling it to my best friend. I tried telling it to my mother. I tried telling it to people that you would think would even want to understand. And they get that look like, okay, you're crazy, or must be your grief talking, or countless other excuses, rather than saying, wow, isn't that fabulous?
Yeah. What's also interesting is that, you know, for instance, there was a new member at the group last night, and she had lost her spouse, I think, 6 months ago.
Right.
And she was searching, as many of us do. You know, she said she was reading all sorts of every book she could get a hand on and going to different events and so forth. And then she started to relate one experience after another, you know, and yet, you know, doubt sets in. You know, it's almost as if she's trying to convince herself, you know. So when does the doubt leave and you finally, you know, just revel in the experiences that you have,
Well, I think there's two kinds of people. There are the ones that immediately revel in the experiences and deep down inside get that initial knowing that comes along with it. It's like it's attached to it telepathically. It's attached to the experience. You instantaneously know who it came from. You know that it's not from this physical world. It just, and maybe it takes a person who's a little more open to it or a little more developed in their own historical psychic ability, whether it's handed down or it's something that they've developed or been working on. But I think the other group of people are the ones that are very logical, very left brain. If you can't see it, if you can't touch it, if you can't manipulate it in some way, shape, or form, it couldn't possibly exist.
Yeah, and some of these, like, for instance, this woman I'm talking about, it's 6 months, and she's getting, you know, a barrage of these after-death encounters or signs, whatever you'd like to call them. And we do see so often that they come with great frequency soon after, you know, the people's passing. But yet, you just described a sign that you got today,
right,
from someone who's deceased 12 years, you know.
Right.
So, and of course, there are reports of people that have been gone a century or two or more,
right.
You know, so time obviously is nothing on that side. But I guess the urgency, there's a sense of urgency to people that transition into spirit initially, as you know, before they get acclimated, and the most important thing that they want to do is to get a message, you know, to their loved one that's still in the physical.
I think it's kind of almost like an unwritten law over there, or a requirement, or something. There are, from the accounts that I've been reading, and I'm not talking about current stuff with all the self-publishing nonsense that goes on. I'm talking about books that were published in the 60s and earlier, where you really needed a publishing company behind what you were writing in order to get it published. And you take all of these pieces of information, and there is that sense of urgency that you talk about. And particularly in Blue Island, which is an account of W.T. Seed, who went down in the Titanic, and he describes the masses of people crossing over, and all of them are met with people who can assist them in immediately letting their loved ones know they're okay.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we'll hear more about the unseen world from our guest, Admir Serrano, so stay tuned.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
Hello, my name is Lauren Halpern, and I'm a Reiki master. I enjoy bringing peace and inspiration to people. I conduct healing circles with inspiration, meditation, and Reiki at different community developments, religious institutions, and many other locations. People react so wonderfully to my events. For more information, please contact me, Reiki Touch by Lauren at 954-464-0087. That's 954-464-0087, or email me at laurenhalpern@gmail.com. LORYNHALPERIN@gmail.com.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Admir Serrano. Our sponsor is the Windbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. Bob?
And Admir Serrano is a believer in the immortality of the human spirit. He's a longtime researcher, writer, and lecturer on paranormal phenomena, such as out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, deathbed visions, after-death communications, reincarnation, mediumship, and the afterlife. His interest in these topics began when he started having spontaneous out-of-body experiences, and he wanted to understand the phenomenon. He's worked as a hospice volunteer, providing spiritual support to terminally ill patients, and, of course, working there, he could also witness firsthand the deathbed vision phenomenon. He's written several books, including Out and About, How to Have a Conscious Out-of-Body Experience, and The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife. Welcome to Signs of Life, Admir.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you, friend, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and spending this time with you and your listeners. Thank you.
Pleasure for us as well. So we mentioned your work with out-of-body experiences. So which came first? Were you experimenting with going out of body before your interest in the after death phenomena, or was it the other way around?
I think it was the other way around. I was first. I was involved in. I was reading pretty much the scientific side of research regarding the afterlife, like reincarnation, near death experience, and then suddenly I started having out of body experience, and I was curious. I was not afraid. I thought it was very enjoyable. So I tried to understand more about it. So I went deeper into it. And they helped me enhance it, and it helped me to experience the afterlife firsthand.
Yeah, well, I know that you also write in your Out and About book that, you know, the OBEs are glimpses of our future life, you know, in the non-physical. So by that you mean that since we're separated from the body, we get a little taste of what it's like and after we transition?
Exactly. That's exactly what we do. There's one, I think it's a misconception in my case, that people wait to die, or they, you know, that we die, then we go to the afterlife. We die and then we become eternal beings. We are in the afterlife now, and we are immortal at this very moment. What's happening is that we are experiencing the physical life. And we always have a taste, exactly like you said, of what it is to be living without the physical body, and in the non-physical realm when we have near out-of-body experience or near-death experience, which is the case. We experience life for, out of the physical body when we are out of the body, and how we are going to function in that new reality. So we are, but the difference is that we will return after a few minutes or a few hours, we will return to the physical body to continue our journey here. And whereas when we die, then we leave the physical body for good.
Mm. So you not only studied about out-of-body experiences, but as you mentioned, you had your own deep travels, for lack of a better term. So is this something that can be taught, and did you teach yourself how to go out of body?
Well, my training was with an organization called, and I even mentioned it in the Out and About. It's the conscious. It's an organization that has that originated in Brazil, my native country. And it studies consciousness and how to produce, how to understand, and how to train being out of the body. The International Association of Consciousness, IAC World, and we can train that. And they, you know, that organization, they will teach you that there's some guidance that we can practice. And I summarize pretty much what we learn in the book Out and About, and we're doing that because everybody leaves the physical body mainly at night, but not everybody is conscious of that. So actually, what I propose in the Out and About, and as the title says, how to have conscious out of body experience, that we already experience out of body experience during the sleep state, but we're not conscious of it. So the idea is to be conscious when we're out and enjoy it more.
Mm. I guess similar to having a lucid dream, right? You're interactive with the dream.
That's right. And many lucid dreams are out-of-body experiences. But it's and we can learn to recognize that. And so with training, we can recognize the difference between lucid dream and an out-of-body experience. And we can also use lucid dream to step out of the physical body.
Mm. Now, you had, I think, a rather extraordinary out-of-body experience where you visited your sister, who physically was 4,000 miles away. So tell our listeners a little bit about that, because it's quite remarkable.
Yeah, that was something that was it was amazing even to me, and that was when it was the height of my experiences, and it was probably because I needed to learn that. So, and I, as I describe in the book, I experienced the whole experience of leaving the physical body, and most likely that's the way that we're going to exit the body at physical death when the body dies. And then I was conscious through the whole process as the spirit body prepared itself to exit from the physical body. And then at one moment, and I was completely lucid, it was a very deep experience because it was meant to happen. And at the moment, I thought about visiting my sister. And then right then, when I got out of the body, I was at her doorstep, as I describe in the book, totally lucid, totally conscious, as I had been there before in my physical body. So, and knowing that I was out of my body, and knowing that the door posed no hindrance to me, I just stepped through it, totally conscious, and I walked to her bedroom, and I saw her out of her body too. And then I started engaging, talking to her. I hugged her, and I kept telling her, this is not a dream. I am out of my body, and so are you. So, and I kept telling her that I'll call you later on in the morning. It was just a few hours away until the time that she woke up. And I'm going to ask you if you remember it. And this is not a dream, I kept saying to her. And then I mentioned in the book the fact that she had a bandage, something white, something wrapped around her head. And I saw it in both the physical body and also in the non-physical body. And that drew my attention, but I ended up, I was so excited at seeing her that I forgot to ask about the bandage. And then a couple of years later, when I went to visit her, I saw her one morning, and she had that same bandage, exactly the way I had seen her. And I asked her why she had that bandage. And she said that because she suffers from migraine headache since she was a child. And she told me that when it gets very bad, when she wraps the bandage around and she tightens it a little bit, I think the pressure releases a little bit of the pain, and she's able to sleep, catch some sleep. And I asked her how often she had been doing that. She said that she did that quite often because her headache had been very strong in the past few years. I thought that was remarkable too.
Yeah. Well, when you called her, several hours after you saw a spirit body, I mean, did she have recollection?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's why that's one of what I propose in the book Out and About is to induce this consciousness. Because if she had been conscious that she was out of her body at that moment, we both could have a much more enjoyable experience that we could even, gone out of her house and do some astral traveling. But she wasn't aware. She wasn't lucid.
Right. So the term that we use, spirit body, was that synonymous with people calling it a soul body? Is that one in the same, do you think?
Yeah. I use the spirit body because it's easier to understand. But soul is breath. And spirit is also breath from Latin. So it's a denomination. It's to describe that part of us that is invisible, that we believe that is immortal. And scientists, for example, they don't like the term soul or spirit because it's non-scientific. So they use it consciousness. And
right.
Throughout the even in near-death experience research, you don't hear anybody saying spirit, with a few rare exceptions,
right.
Because it's synonymous of religiosity or even superstition. So
right.
Scientists use consciousness to describe what we call spirit or soul.
Yeah, and do you think that we all have this ethereal body that is always with us, that's usually invisible?
Most certainly. Because if you, it's all energy. And when you see even scientists today, quantum physics has been proving that and showing us that. And there is this spirit, that this immortal part of us, and not only of human, where, you know, every living being, every living thing, even a bacteria has some kind of non-physical component. And which has a ruby, even if it's a rudimentary, but it does have some kind of consciousness, and that is studied also. It's incredible what some part of the science are doing with living, you know, living things, studying even the in microscopic organism, that something else that they have besides their, you know, their physical encasement. We are very advanced in that. Science is very advanced in that regards as well.
Yeah. Well, we know that the outer body is a component of the near death experience. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody having a near death experience without going out of body?
No, because then it wouldn't be, the person would not be conscious enough to relate the experience. So. Near-death experience is an out-of-body experience. Death is also an out-of-body experience, but one with no return. A near-death experience and a normal out-of-body experience when we're healthy, they're the same thing, but caused by different reasons. For instance, in near-death experience, there is the heart stops. So the brain, activity stops, breathing stops, and so the body is rendered practically dead. And some people are indeed pronounced dead by the doctors, and then they have no physical consciousness, and then they have the experiences that they tell, they relate either to the doctors or to relatives or friends or whoever, and the of their consciousness. Outside of the physical body, so they have a total different experience. Well, they're still the same person in a different body, and much lighter. And they have the same cognitive capacities enhanced many times. They can think, they can reason, they can memorize things. And then when they return, they relate to that, and the clearness of the experiences that they have, I am sure that is because the physical body is completely out of the way. So they're almost completely disconnected from the physical body because the physical body is almost dead. Whereas during a regular out-of-body experience, the body is still healthy. The ties that join the physical and non-physical body are still too tight. Well, we are still too connected to that physical portion, so our experience is not as lucid as a near-death experience.
Right. You wrote a bit about the end of death book, a bit about what's described as a silver cord that disconnects when we physically die. So when you have an out-of-body experience, that silver cord is still attached to the physical body, so to speak?
Yeah. Or when we have out-of-body experiences, and also when people have near-death experiences. I was curious, and that was not too long ago, because in near-death experience, you don't hear much about that connection, but there are some. So I am a member of several near-death experience groups. And I then, one day, I put a question on those groups, I think three groups, if anybody who had a near-death experience had seen, felt a cord or some kind of cord, that so-called silver cord. And I was surprised by the answers, several, like about 50% of the people who replied, it was about 10 of them, and or eight or something like that. Who had near-death experience had seen or felt the cord.
Really? Yeah, because I don't recall seeing that in any of the, you know, the literature. So that was a good question to ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they, I don't know how in depth the answers were, but when they saw the if they had a veridical NDE and they're looking down at their body, I mean, they would see a physical cord attached to their to both bodies, the body that they were looking down from. Yeah.
Yes, and the most amazing experience that I had, I mean, not that I had, that I know of, and I opened the book, The End of Death, with her case of my cousin in Sally in Brazil. Yeah. And she recalls it. And what was amazed, what I was amazed with, was that I didn't even mention at all anything, you know. So there's no biased question or anything. It came out spontaneously when I asked her what else she had seen that was unusual. And she told me that she saw this connection, this cord that came from her physical body, which was laying in the ICU, and that came toward, she said, the back of my towards my back. So it was interesting is that she would see that, she saw the connection. I asked her, and where was it connected to the physical body? She said, to the front, to the forehead. And then it came to her direction, but it would go, she said, it would go behind her. So she didn't see it come straight like to her forehead. It was like, because in the literature and also my experience, I have had hundreds of those experiences that we can do and feel. We can even touch, hold the examine the silver cord. I've done that hundreds of times. Then it is connected to the back of the head, in most cases.
Mm. Well, I noticed that it's also in the descriptions of deathbed visions, you know, with loved ones surrounding a person that's dying, and then sometimes the people in the room will describe seeing a cord separate at the time of death. So I guess that makes...
Yes, that's a fact. That's a fact. And we have in the literature going back to Andrew Jackson Davis, to Dr. Holt, and also more recent. And it's amazing the number of nurses, doctors, and carers for the dying, and even relatives, they're witnessing or they're sitting with their loved ones at the time of their transition, talking about seeing the formation of a new body and the exit. It's incredible. So there's a lot of evidence there, more evidence that we can tally that supports immortality.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to ask you the... one of the common descriptions from people who have near-death experiences is that they report sometimes a buzzing sound or a pop or sometimes even musical tones. Is that similar to when you have an out-of-body? Do you ever experience that same thing as you begin separation from the physical body?
But the experience that you mentioned when I visited my sister...
Yeah,
I experienced all of that. I experienced the total withdrawal of the spiritual energy from my body and from every part of my body, and concentrating in the head. And in my head, I had this buzzing. I had laughs. I had music, and at the same time, I was working on concentrating to get out of the body. So. Besides all that things that was happening in my head, I had also the clear consciousness that I wanted to get out and go and visit my sister. So, and then you see this pressure, you feel this pressure like something wants to get out. And then as soon as it got out and I felt getting out through the forehead, I heard the pop. And when I heard the pop, that's, you know, the next thing, I was already at my sister's doorstep.
Mm. So I know that you consciously brought this experience on, or we hoped that you would be able to fulfill your wish, and it happened. So when it was happening, were you surprised? Did you say to yourself, wow, I can't believe this is happening?
Or actually, we had trained that, and we believed, And so, but one thing that when I was thinking about the experience and seeing what I had learned, how, and you have read, I'm sure, and even heard a lot of people saying that they saw a loved one that was either in their room or in their bed or something, and then they marked the hour, and then they heard, you know, someone called telling that that person had died, and when they asked what time that person had died, they gave the time, 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And so this is, and I mentioned that in the book, that I'm sure that this is the same process. Let's say that I had, my body had died at that moment. So that was my final out-of-body experience. If I had thought of my sister, so I'd be in her room at that moment, except that I would not return to my physical body anymore because it had finished its work here on Earth.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that this is the same process that happens when people say that they saw someone and that someone had died exactly at the moment they're seeing them.
Yeah, I would agree. It seems the same mechanism as
yeah.
We are talking with Admir Serrano. Admir is the author of several books, two of which are out and about, How to Have Conscious Out-of-Body Experiences and The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife. His website name, Admir, A-D-M-I-R, Serrano, Serrano.com. And we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to have a lot more to talk about with Admir, so stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world, but for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential, and research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Admir Serrano. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential, and they can be found at on the web at www.winbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, it's time for some foundation updates for our listeners. Did you know that you can financially support the work of Forever Family Foundation, a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, without sending us a single pretty penny? When shopping on the internet, think of us before you go to Amazon.com, and instead go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and use the Amazon link to get to Amazon. Don't worry, there's one on every page of our new website. And if you add that one simple step to your shopping, a dollar percentage of everything that goes into your shopping cart will generate a donation from Amazon to us. And what if you don't shop on Amazon? Not a problem. There is another way to be certain that almost all your website shopping produces a donation to Forever Family Foundation without you having to send us anything. Visit iGive.com. Sign up with iGive. It's free. Name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice, and just like with Amazon, a portion of your spending results in a donation to Forever Family Foundation. Once you set it up, each time you shop on the internet, iGive.com will automatically send us a donation when you shop in one of their more than 1,400 online stores that you're probably already shopping in, like 1-800-Flowers or DSW, Home Depot, Urban Outfitters. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our annual grief retreat is set for the weekend of July 25th through 27th back at the wonderful guest house in Chester, Connecticut. We have also added a day just for parents who have lost children. Details are all up on the website, and it is a very special weekend of a small group of like-minded people sharing a very special journey. So if you want to be part of this, make your arrangements early. You do not want to miss out on this meaningful experience. And if you would like to save money, we can put you into a double or triple with another attendee of the same gender. Reservations can be made via the event page on our website at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And many of our listeners already know that March had marked our 10th year as a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, serving the world in our mission to prove that life continues even after the physical body dies. In celebration of this event, we are revisiting our very first event from 2004 with a 10-year update on the current research that supports the existence of the afterlife. Please join us on July 29th at Long Island University, where Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti will present The Afterlife, A Scientist's View, and he will be followed by a demonstration of spirit communication for those in attendance by Forever Family Foundation certified medium, Laura Lynn Jackson. And lastly, please save the week of November 6th through 11th for our 8th original Afterlife Conference and Convention. This will be a very big one, and you don't want to miss out on this. So, Bob, back to you. I'm done.
And we are back with our guest, Admir Serrano. The website is admirserrano.com. And two books that we've been talking about are Out and About and The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife. Admir, I wanted to ask, moving away from the science a bit, but more on the spiritual side. I mean, do you think that we've all lived in the spirit world before our physical incarnations, or is it possible that this physical existence is the first stop for some, so to speak?
Well, I am a deep believer in reincarnation, and I also have had reincarnational experiences during out-of-body experience and during the dream state. And I am sure that we have lived before, and I'm sure that we will continue coming to physical life as it is a wonderful experience that accelerates our spiritual growth, because I think that each every living being is on a consciousness evolution. And you see, as you see humanity from the from when it began, or the Earth when it first began, it was inhabited by bacteria, by once single-celled organisms. And then after 3 billion years, we see all the difference, all the richness of life forms, and culminating with the human life, and also our self-consciousness. So it's very easy to see that the consciousness of evolution of consciousness is a fact. It has happened. It's there's no way to deny it. It's in history, and it's in biology. It's out there. And we also have some wonderful, wonderful scientific research, mainly done by the University of Virginia. Dr. Ian Stevenson, for instance, and now Dr. James Tucker, that is doing the work that Ian Stevenson started about 60 years ago with the University of Virginia, both being psychiatrists, doctors of great reputation. So there's a lot of evidence that we have lived before, that we will come back here as much as for as long as it is needed for our, you know, for our betterment. And then it's we'll keep going back and forth, back and forth.
You mind taking a call from a listener?
Not at all. It's a great pleasure.
Okay, we have a caller on line 3.
Yes, I'm assuming it's me. My name is Brian. I'm calling from Chico, California. And Mr. Serrano, I was hoping, could you describe what it's like when you leave your body? Do you still have, do you feel like you still have a body? Do you still have arms and legs? Do you fly somewhere? Do you stay in the immediate area, or do you go out of state or even out into the space? And also, have you ever had trouble getting back into your body once you've left it?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question, Brian. Thank you. Flying dreams, it's the most eloquent evidence that we are out of the physical body. And I have had opportunities when I had my flying dreams to verify the environment where I was in, and obviously when it was the physical environment, going back there the next day and verifying what I saw. We can do that because there's an exercise. During the exercise, the out-of-body experience training, when you notice yourself, when you feel that you are out of your physical body, you can bring your state of lucidity very high, and you can peruse your own body. You look at your hands, you can look at your feet, and you can see it. I have done that many times. That is part of our training. And you can go, normally you can stay around your house, and that happened to me many times. You can also go out of town, but you can also go to the non-physical environment or spirit world. There's trouble sometimes, and I did have trouble one time. And the trouble is when we're not coincided in the lingo that we use in out-of-body experience. So when the spirit body is not connected very exactly to the physical body, but that's just a few seconds. So you might have that problem. And there's a lot of people who experience that. And when they feel their body, they're conscious that they're totally conscious, but they can't move their body. So they even get desperate, and because they can't move their body. So there's not exactly coincidence, but there's consciousness is very close to the physical body. And there is that moment of despair, even when the person doesn't understand what's going on. But for as long as we have not finished our life on Earth, we will return to the physical body. When we finish our life on Earth, the body will die, and we as a spirit will be free until the next time around when we come to take another body. Does that answer your question, Brian?
Yes, I appreciate it very much. And it sounds similar to when I've been dreaming and I'm aware that I'm dreaming and I can't physically move, but I'm still aware that I'm there.
That's right, because you, so that is also a moment you can use to exit, go further. You know that you're out already, so then you explore. You bring that, you heighten your lucidity. You say, I am awake, or I am out of body. Those are some suggestions that we give when we're doing the reality check that we call. I am awake and I am out of my body. So then you start looking at yourself, looking at your environment, and you can even, depending if you are in the same room as the physical body, you can even see the physical body there.
If I was watching you while you were exiting your body, would you appear to be dead during the time you were gone, or would you just appear to be asleep?
The physical body?
Yes.
And that happens, and there's a lot of laboratory doing dream work and in dream lab, and I have noticed that myself during my experiences, and it is a fact, and it's a recorded fact that when we sleep, our heartbeat decreases, our breathing decreases, and our body temperature decreases during most part of the sleep cycle. So and the body is very rigid. So catalepsy, what's called catalepsy, and they call sleep paralysis, is also a fact that the body stays in that cataleptic or state. Or paralysis for a long time, many, many times during the sleep cycle. So it could be, you could say that is, it's not dead, but it's not dead because there's organic life, but it does not have consciousness because the conscious part, which is our spirit part, is out.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Brian, for your questions.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, take care. Well, unfortunately, we've the end of our time. Our guest tonight is Admir Serrano, and the website is admirserrano.com. Two books to check out, and about end of death. And Admir, thanks so much for being with us tonight, and we hope you'll join us again.
My pleasure, Robert. Thank you very much for having me. And you know where to find me. When just call me, and it'll be a pleasure to join you again.
Thank you very much, Admir. Take care.
My pleasure. You too. Have a good night.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon David Mello, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Stanley Newland, Glenna Irwin, Lynn Austin, Michael Tim, Patty Potter, Eileen Lafata, Wendy Lippo, Barbara Russell, Tom Donahue, Philip McAfee, Gina D. Donato, Bobby Allison, Doug Berry, Karen, Eddie Roll, Rita Dwyer, Tracy Lee Nash, Jean Lash, Tim Donahue, Vicky Steffi, Mark Varon, Rita Springer, David Haith, Barbara Petillo, Christina D. Donato, Julie B., Marianne Pierzga, Jeanette Davies, Rachel Skandarian, Kimberly Saavedra, and Anne Hutchinson. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.